Teaching English Today, The Four Seas and Beyond by Louise Carlton-Gertsch is powered by Ernst Klett Sprachen, der Verlag für modernes Fremdsprachenlernen in Schule, Ausbildung, Universität und Erwachsenenbildung. Sprachenlernen fürs Leben.
Hello and welcome to Teaching English Today, The Four Seas and Beyond. A podcast in which we'll be looking at ways to help students of English develop important skills for the 21st century. I'm your host, Louise Carlton-Gertsch. Today's young people will live and work in a world that's fundamentally different from the one in which I and probably some of you grew up. Globalization, the digital revolution, mass migration, and the climate emergency mean that we're becoming increasingly interconnected and interdependent. We live, as it were, in a global village. Dealing with these challenges requires new skills, knowledge, and attitudes. Already 25 years ago, the American Council on Education wrote in the publication Educating for Global Competence, America's Passport to the Future. America's future depends upon our ability to develop a citizen base that's globally competent. Our nation's place in the world will be determined by our society, whether it's internationally competent, comfortable, and confident. Will our citizens be competent in international affairs, comfortable with cultural diversity at home and abroad, and confident of their ability to cope with the uncertainties of a new age and a different world? And they stressed the role of higher education in achieving this. Experts joined together to come up with a definition that united the education, business, government, and non-profit sectors. From this point on, global competence began to grow in importance, both in the workplace and as far as education was concerned. Prominent educationalists started calling for learning to be made more relevant to meet these demands. In 2011, Howard Gardner stressed in the preface to Educating for Global Competence, Preparing Our Youth to Engage the World, "What's needed more than ever is a laser-like focus on the kinds of human beings that we're raising and the kinds of societies, indeed, in a global era, the kind of world society that we're fashioning." The publication cited three key forces that are shaping our lives, highlighting the new educational demands: the flattened global economy and changing demands of work, unprecedented global migration and the changing nature of neighbourhoods, identities and citizenship, and climate instability and the growing need for global environmental stewardship. It had become clear that young people needed to have more than just knowledge in certain subject areas. They needed to become more informed and curious about global issues and the regions of the world, to consider and be open to multiple perspectives, to be able to communicate across cultures, and to be prepared to act to bring about change. Then, 5 years ago, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD, incorporated global competence into the PISA assessment for the first time. It was considered key in supporting the achievement of the Sustainable Development Goals. In the foreword to the publication, Preparing Our Youth for an Inclusive and Sustainable World, a publication that set out the global competence framework, OECD Chief of Staff Gabriela Ramos stressed its importance, saying, "Reinforcing global competence is vital for individuals to thrive in a rapidly changing world and for societies to progress without leaving anyone behind. Against a context in which we all have much to gain from growing openness and connectivity, and much to lose from rising inequalities and radicalism, citizens need not only the skills to be competitive and ready for a new world of work, but more importantly, they also need to develop the capacity to analyse and understand global and intercultural issues." What is global competence, and how does it differ from intercultural competence? The OECD uses the following definition of global competence. Global competence is the capacity to examine local, global, and intercultural issues, to understand and appreciate the perspectives and worldviews of others, to engage in open, appropriate, and effective interactions with people from different cultures, and to act for collective well-being and sustainable development. As we can see, it comprises four key dimensions. These are interdependent and all contribute to enabling someone to become globally competent. The first dimension is about investigating the world, whether at a local, national, or global level. Instead of focusing on acquiring knowledge, it's more about students' ability to apply what they've learned to new situations. They're able to identify issues, ask appropriate questions, analyze evidence, develop arguments, and draw solid conclusions. The second dimension is the ability to recognize, understand, and appreciate different perspectives. Students realize that their own perspectives are shaped by a range of factors and that others have very different worldviews. Appreciating cultural differences and searching for common ground is key. The third one is the capacity to communicate ideas effectively with diverse audiences by engaging in open, appropriate, and effective interactions across cultures. It's about the willingness to engage with others and their perspectives, being sensitive towards their needs and curious about their ideas. And finally, globally competent students are able to take action for collective well-being and sustainable development, both locally and globally. This dimension is about agency, being able to identify and create opportunities for action, whether personal or collaborative, and to make an impact. It's about helping students to become active members of society. Dalia Dierdorf, founder of the World Council on Intercultural and Global Competence, developed the Pyramid Model of Intercultural Competence in 2006. It comprises attitudes, knowledge, skills, and desired internal and external outcomes. At its base comes the need for certain key attitudes, respect, openness, and at the same time withholding judgment, as well as curiosity and discovery. The next level cites the need for knowledge and comprehension of one's own culture, as well as that of others and their worldviews. At the same time, she stresses the need for certain skills, listening, observing, and interpreting, and at the same time, analysing, evaluating, and relating to one's own culture. These attitudes, knowledge, and skills lead to desired internal and finally external outcomes. The internal outcomes are that we become more adaptable towards different communication styles and behaviours, that we become more flexible, enabling us to choose appropriate communication styles, and develop empathy so we're able to see the world through the eyes of those with whom we're communicating. At the top of the pyramid is the desired external outcome, that we're able to behave and communicate effectively and appropriately, something which is visible to others. Thus, we can see that intercultural competence is a key part of global competence, but that the latter goes beyond it as it takes in the whole world, reflecting our interconnected global society. And importantly, it encompasses this fourth dimension, taking action for collective well-being, both on a local and global level. Yet these two competencies share commonalities. They're both about making learning more relevant and deep, and importantly, are processes that are part of lifelong learning. The development of these competencies won't be completed by the time students leave school. They will continue to deepen their cross-cultural interpersonal skills as they go through life and navigate different situations. The OECD framework refers to four different factors that are crucial for the development of global competence: knowledge, skills, attitudes, and values. Firstly, students need knowledge about the global issues affecting people around the world and what they reveal about how interconnected different parts of the world are. What happens in one region will potentially have global outcomes. Likewise, global problems will also be local ones as different communities experience them in different ways. In addition, we need knowledge of culture and intercultural relations. This will not only help us to become more aware of our own cultural identity, but also help us to understand similarities and differences among and within cultures. Yet, in my opinion, we have to be careful to avoid falling into the trap of oversimplifying a culture. It's very easy to talk about the British, isn't it? But what does it mean to be British today? How do people in different regions, with different backgrounds, from different demographics, see themselves? In 2021, for instance, Dr. Kenny Monrose headed a major new national survey of Black British identity, the Black British Voices Project. In an article on The Voice, he called for people to sign up, saying, "Do you see yourself as Black British? If so, are you proud to be Black British? Can Black people ever feel or be seen as English? We want to hear from normal people on streets up and down the country to uncover the reality of being Black in 21st century Britain." Secondly, students also need skills such as the ability to reason with information from a variety of sources. This involves being able to think critically about the information they've come across, evaluating it rather than just taking it at face value, questioning the motives behind what's presented and the means used to draw attention to it. The ability to communicate in an effective and respectful manner is also key, as is the need for perspective taking, the ability to put oneself in someone else's shoes. There's also a need to be able to deal with and resolve conflicts. This also encompasses the need to be able to listen effectively, identify the issues at stake, and find solutions, while at the same time being in control of one's own emotions. And of course, being adaptable rather than fixed in one's beliefs and behaviour. Thirdly, attitudes such as openness towards and respect for other people from other cultural backgrounds are key. And at the same time, global-mindedness, the idea that one is a citizen of the world with commitments and obligations towards the planet and other people, no matter their cultural or national background. And finally come values, which are seen to transcend attitudes. The framework states that valuing human dignity and valuing cultural diversity contribute to global competence because they constitute critical filters through which individuals process information about other cultures and decide how to engage with others and the world. It's clear that schools have a vital role to play in the development of global competence, but the question is, how can it be integrated? In their book, Educating for Global Competence, Anthony Jackson and Veronica Boix-Mansilla list four questions that teachers need to answer. The first is, what topics matter most to teach? This is, of course, also largely dictated by the curriculum, yet there are still some other criteria at stake that need to be considered, such as, which topic generates deep engagement? How does it connect to the lives of my students? Does it have clear local and global connections? Does it have visible global significance? As we know, some topics demand urgent solutions, such as global health or the climate emergency. The second question is, what will students take away? This refers to the communication of clear and manageable learning goals that focus on different aspects of global competency, such as communicating effectively and respectfully, reasoning with information, and so on. Thirdly, what will students do to learn? Students need to use knowledge and skills in and across disciplines in novel situations. Thus, they need to apply ideas and methods to new situations. It's also key to connect students' local experiences to the world. The authors advocate starting out from the student's local perspective and then moving to the global. And importantly, they stress the importance of engaging students cognitively, socially, and emotionally. They stress the need to help students overcome their feelings of being overwhelmed by certain topics, such as when talking about the climate emergency, to being able to take action, whether by helping them to articulate their perspectives, get involved, or take some form of collective action, no matter how small. And finally comes the question, how will we know students are making progress? They stress here that assessment needs to focus on global competence, so the area of global competence that's at the centre, whether communicating ideas, recognising perspectives, etc. This assessment should also be ongoing. Global competence is not something that's learned in an afternoon. It also requires informative feedback on the specific features that are being focused on. And finally, they say that while teachers are primarily responsible for assessing their students' work, others could also be included in the process. Experts on the subject could also offer feedback on presentations, students' peers could help to establish criteria for assessment, and so forth. While these questions might initially seem simple on the surface, they lead to complex answers, and not all of them will be easy to implement, but they do provide food for thought. As Boix-Mansilla wrote in the 2016 article, How to Be a Global Thinker, in the periodical Educational Leadership, teachers should weave opportunities to inquire about the world, take multiple perspectives, engage in respectful dialogue, and take responsible action as a routine and integral part of everyday life in the classroom. So what about in the English-speaking classroom? Project Zero, a research centre at the Harvard Graduate School of Education, has developed a range of different thinking routines to help students develop a global mindset. These routines are sets of questions or steps that are used to help support and deepen student thinking. By engaging in them, their thought processes become more visible and students become more aware of how they're thinking. The aim is to encourage students to integrate these practices into their general thinking routines. The three whys enable students to consider the significance of an issue or topic while looking at the global, local, and personal implications. Students are encouraged to ask, why might this topic or issue matter to me? Secondly, why might it matter to people around me? And thirdly, why might it matter to the world? The questions can be asked in any order, whichever is most applicable to the task and situation. The thinking routine step in, step out, step back helps students to examine their own and other perspectives. The students begin by identifying a person or agent in the situation that you're examining. They then step in and are asked the question, given what you see and know at this time, what do you think this person might feel, believe, know, or experience? The students then step out and think about, what else would you like or need to learn to understand this person's perspective better? And finally, they step back and consider, given your exploration of this perspective so far, what do you notice about your own perspective and what it takes to take somebody else's? The routine, how else and why, helps students to communicate appropriately and consider other people's needs. This is of particular use in the English-speaking classroom, as it helps students to focus on how best to engage with their audience and to find the appropriate language, body language, and tone to be able to do so. To begin with, the students note down what they want to say and think about the intention behind it. In a second step, they're then encouraged to think about how else they could say it and why. The students now consider the intention, the target audience, and the situation, and then reframe the statement accordingly. This not only affects the language they use, so syntax, level of language, use of jargon, whether there are any intercultural aspects that need explaining, but also their tone and body language. This also reflects the advice given in the article, The Best Way to Communicate on a Global Team, for the Harvard Business Review in 2021, written by Dan Bullock from the UN and the author Raul Sanchez. Their advice is to turn to global English, a type of English that focuses on clearer and more accurate communication within global teams. This means reducing the number of idioms, no matter how much we enjoy using them, and cultural references to ensure that everyone is able to understand the message. Their top tips include choosing clarity over business jargon or any form of jargon. And this is one that's also important for the classroom, isn't it? We have to think to whom we're addressing our message and whether the recipient will be able to understand or appreciate the language we're using. While a native speaker might understand a particular term, many people from other countries might not. Thus, when taking part in or writing for an Erasmus project, caution should be exercised. They suggest avoiding abbreviations. Using familiar language in a domestic context, but literal language in a global one. And connecting with empathy as opposed to using humour. They stress the importance of using pronouns such as we and us to establish a rapport and create inclusion. And they advise drawing attention to shared commonalities and goals as a means of producing more collaborative and meaningful interactions. Another helpful thinking routine is see, feel, think, wonder. It's a good way to get students to interact with visuals, stimulate their curiosity, and follow up on this. After being presented with an image, students are first encouraged to make a note of what they notice. They should do so without judging or interpreting what they can see, as this first step is purely about noticing. In a second step, they note down what the image makes them feel and why. Then, in the third step, they're encouraged to note down what the visual might make them think about. And finally, they note down what it makes them wonder about, stimulating curiosity. Today, given the far-reaching digital, demographic, economic, and environmental challenges we're facing, global competence is not something that would be nice to have, but something that everyone needs to develop. And now more than ever, we need to ask ourselves, how can we best prepare young people for the challenges of living in an interconnected, yet at the same time disconnected world? How can we further global and intercultural understanding? And how can we all work towards creating a better and safer future for everyone? As Andrea Schleicher wrote in an article for the International Teacher magazine, success in education today is about building curiosity, opening minds. It's about compassion, opening hearts. And it's about courage, mobilizing our cognitive, social, and emotional resources. Thanks for listening.
Teaching English Today, The Four Seas and Beyond by Louise Carlton-Gerch was brought to you by Ernst Klett Sprachen, der Verlag für modernes Fremdsprachenlernen in Schule, Ausbildung, Universität und Erwachsenenbildung. Sprachenlernen fürs Leben.